Today is May 27th, 2022. Bitcoin price is currently $28,752.64.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another Friday.
You looking forward to a long weekend?
Yep, that extra day off really helps.
Yeah, you know, I find it, I mean, the holidays are nice, but I always find it interesting that the following week after the holiday seems longer than just a regular five-day work week.
Yeah, because Tuesday is just extra brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like you always got to play a lot of catch-up on stuff. Bitcoin price, $28,752. We were talking about this right before we started the podcast, and it sounds like the Fed, from an article you sent me
a couple days ago.
Yeah, they're going to be raising interest rates. I think I want to say within that article it was talking about half a basis point.
Yep.
Or 50 basis points. Let me make that clear. Half a percent. Which, like I said, I want to say that's going to bring them up to right around 2.25 or something along those lines. 2.5.
Yeah. I mean, it's still historically ridiculously low. Especially when we consider, you know, the previous inflationary point that everyone's comparing this to 40 years ago. Interest rates went to, you know, 20% basically.
Yeah. Yeah, so interest rates shifting target right now is between 0.75% and 1% for the Fed rate, right? If they're going to raise it another 0.5%, so we're looking at actually less than what I thought, so like 1.5, or basically 1.25 to 1.5, right?
Is what we're looking at. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are still speculating that we're probably going to see like up to a 3% rise before the end of this year. I think we kind of touched on that last time.
But, I mean, if interest rates are that low and they're looking at raising it. I mean, they're raising it, what, 3%, you're saying, by the end of the year?
That's what a lot of people are saying, is that by the time they're done doing this hawkish development, it'll be a 3% increase.
Okay, and as we said before, it's still too little, too late. But it's still going to crush segments of the economy, especially the housing.
Yeah. I mean, and it was weird because we were talking about that right beforehand, so I started looking at what interest rates were on 30-year notes for homes. And for some reason, they dropped almost 8 basis points from what I was seeing on there. Which isn't a big drop, but it's like, why are they going down?
Yeah. I mean, if the Federal Reserve is just artificially raising rates, shouldn't that go across the board?
Yeah, you would think. Well, and they did. I mean, they have climbed significantly. Because I want to say, I mean, 3 years ago, you could probably get a home, a new home mortgage for like 2.75%. Yeah. Which, I mean, that's a killer rate, right? I mean, that's an unbelievably cheap interest rate for a home. For a house.
Yeah.
And now I want to say it was middle of April. It looked like it was around 5.3. And it looks like it's dropped back down to just below 5, which is interesting considering that they're talking about raising the rates again. We'll see. We'll have to see how that plays out. The Dow soared 516 points and NASDAQ climbs over 2%. Which, so this is interesting too, right? Because Bitcoin has been very much following the tech stocks, the tech industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And where we've gone down, they're going up. Are we decoupling?
I think it's too early to say.
Yeah, I don't think a weekend rally from the stock market, I don't think that's enough to say, oh, well, Bitcoin's decoupling from the, legacy financial system.
Yeah. Well, but we were also talking about last time that Walmart and Target had gone down in price. Amazon's not doing so hot. They're basically, they don't really expect any growth this quarter.
Yeah.
And, they've been consistently, ramping up, facilities for delivery staff. And then this year they're putting a halt to it, or at least right now they are.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, when you think about that too, like with Amazon, you've got, so retail industry as a whole, because we've talked about supply chain before, retail, whether it's online commerce or brick and mortar stores, you got to expect some sort of a slowdown because supply chain can't meet the demand, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I don't suppose that's shocking. I guess it's unusual in America because you want to see that continual growth year over year over year, but you know that's impossible. You got to have your strong years. You got to have your weaker years.
You know, if I disagree, I think it could have something more consistent, but what we are stuck in is the boom bust where it's a crazy expansion and then a crazy contraction. You know, we've seen several of those in our lifetimes. So, I mean, if it was more of a steady, slower growth, I think that's possible to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at some of the businesses that I work with, right, especially in this area, our sales have always been fairly consistently flat. If you look at a chart, you can pretty much gauge exactly what's going to happen every time. And I mean, they're fairly flat. I mean, they do have an incline, but the main reason why they have this incline, right, is because prices are going up every year.
It's more inflation than it is more sales, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly the point, I guess, behind it. Because when I look at that, the sales numbers year over year, the number of transactions that we perform are always just about the same. Maybe they're off by about 50. Maybe they're off by 100. Mm-hmm. But they're pretty close. But you've always got, you got that 10 to 15%. And in my market where, we're very specialized, it's probably a 20% kind of just incline that's happening. But it's not because we're doing all this extra sales. It's just because the prices have continually gone up.
Yeah. No, I believe that.
I mean, I don't know how I would look at that. I mean, I guess I was used to that from my days of work in retail. You know, whenever you'd have the new launch of a console, your sales that year were going to be incredible. They're going to go through the roof, but eventually that kind of tapers off, and then all you have is software sales to kind of help meet that demand. But I mean, when you're selling, your $300 ticket items, as opposed to a $60, $50
game at the time,
right? So we'll see what happens. June 1st is when this new Fed rate hike is supposed to go into effect. And then, like I said, I mean, bring us probably at about 1 to 1.25 interest rate from the Fed, which is the highest it's been in over 20 years, right?
Yeah, well, I think in the late 2000s, it was a little bit higher.
Was it higher then?
Yeah.
The Fed
funds. They really brought down rates after the 2008 recession.
2008. We did have Jamie Dimon, which, if you've ever followed Bitcoin for any certain amount of time, he has hated Bitcoin. He was notorious at one point during the 2017 bull run. He had talked about how if any of his employees touched Bitcoin, he was going to fire them. And now he came out with a press release on May 26th. He was saying J.P. Morgan, so he's the head of J.P. Morgan, in case you don't know, says Bitcoin's slide has created significant upside for crypto investors. He believes that it's actually kind of undervalued by 28% currently, and says that it should be about 38,000 currently. Normally, he way lowballs Bitcoin. But this is kind of an interesting stance that he's taken.
Yeah, no, that's actually very interesting, especially if he was so anti-Bitcoin just 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and now he's saying it's undervalued. you know, and 5 years ago, it reached, what, 17, 18 grand? Almost 19?
Yeah.
And that's when it crashed. So now it's 28,000, and it's undervalued.
Yep. No, and I do think that's interesting. He had been on the record even just a year ago. He said, I'm not a Bitcoin supporter. I don't care about Bitcoin. I have no interest in it. On the other hand, clients are interested in it, and I don't tell clients what to do. So, I mean, there's a demand in there. I don't know what it's going to take for that market to react to it. We saw Ethereum take a pretty major dump today. Actually, it started yesterday. But there was a block restructuring that had taken place, which block restructures are not all that uncommon. So I think it's just people are looking at anything they can to push the market down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird. It's just everything's just like taking a cold shower right now. Nothing gets sweaty, you know? Yeah. Everything's just, they're trying to keep everything as milquetoast as possible.
Yeah. And, you know, in just looking at the general price action, I mean, it may be, I mean, according to him, that it is worth 38,000, or it should be, but I don't see it going up there anytime soon.
I don't either, but I mean, at the same time, we talked about that last time. I really don't expect any type of a major upswing in the crypto markets until we hear the Fed ease up on things. Mainly just because the institutions that are currently investing into it, they are very much going to take the stance that Bitcoin is a risk asset.
Mm-hmm.
And right now is when they don't want to be taking risk.
No, especially if we really do think that the economy is in free fall right now and we realize it, I mean, everything's up for grabs. Who knows how low it'll go at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I always think that there's enough buyers out there. There's enough people that believe in Bitcoin that I don't think it can go that low. I think there's too many buyers out there for it. There's people that buy every day, if not every week.
Yeah.
And it may not be a large amount, but when you get enough people doing that all the time,
they kind of support the levels.
Yeah, it kind of holds a lot of things in tow.
Well, I'm just saying if there's like some type of margin call that's going on with some of the investors, you know, and they need to get out of, maybe it's not even Bitcoin that's the problem. Maybe it's the other positions that they're in that they need to get out of.
Well, no, and that's, I think that's the biggest part of that. Whenever you see, especially when you see that within the traditional financial markets, right? When you see those calls happen, and, you know, especially end of quarters, you know, you approach the end of a quarter, they've got to show that they've made X amount of dollars. If their stocks are not performing the way they need them to, and Bitcoin is kind of held where it needed to, they will sell off their Bitcoin just to show a profit. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't care about the underlying asset. They have no. They have, I guess there's a weird psychology that takes place within the crypto market. Because even if you start off in Bitcoin and you're just in it for the gains, which unless you're buying it just the right time, you're not going to become rich overnight with Bitcoin or any of the cryptos. Well, some of the cryptos you could. But more than likely, unless you got on that boat at just the right time and you were kind of just dumb lucked on it, or you had some insider knowledge, you're not going to become a millionaire overnight. Now, on the reverse side, though, is once you get into Bitcoin, and I would say it's more especially once you get into Bitcoin, you actually begin to study it, you see that how it will benefit everybody if it increases, rather than just looking out for self or looking out for, oh, I can buy a Lamborghini or I can take a vacation this winter. And I think that's the real philosophy that has to kind of get embedded within to people. But it doesn't happen until you make your first dip into the space.
Yep. And while the dollar is still the reserve currency, I mean, it's going to be kind of this level. Another thing, I didn't mention it to you beforehand, but I did see that Russia's accepting payment for their natural gas from Germany and who else? One of the countries in Europe, but they're basically making them pay in rubles.
Yeah. Well, that's the only thing they can pay with, right?
Well, that's Generally, though, the petro has been exchanged in the dollar.
Yeah, but Russia can't. They're sanctioned the hell out of it.
But they're taking everything. But have you seen what the level the ruble's at now?
Mm-mm.
It's back to its pre-war level.
Really?
So yeah, it's basically recovered.
That's crazy. So they're still doing a lot with ruble.
Yes. And it was getting hammered end of March. So things are very interesting worldwide. And it looks like Russia, I mean, see that huge, actually it's even higher.
Higher than what it was. It's up to a penny a dollar.
And the low point, what did it get down to like in February?
It got down March. To 0.07 of a dollar, or of a dollar. I didn't know how you'd say that at that point.
7 cents per ruble?
It's not even...
Or
0.07.
0.07, okay.
Well, 0.07 of a penny? No, 0.07 of a dollar, I think. 0.007 is what it was.
Yeah. But now what is it at?
It's at 1.4 cents.
So it's basically, it's doubled from what its low was.
Yep. Yep, so they're actually, looks like they're doing okay, regardless of their sanctions.
Regardless of the sanctions, and people were talking about how they were losing the war, and I was like, I'm not so sure. And I've been seeing calls from Zelensky that he wants to negotiate now because they are getting it.
Well, dude, I mean,
put on him.
The whole thing about that was that, I mean, I will say this about the whole Ukrainian thing, given I don't know exactly what's going on the ground. They've held out longer than I thought they were going to. I figured it was going to be within 30 days, but I mean, this has been since basically March, right?
Mm-hmm. Basically end of February, right?
End of February. It looks like February 23rd, 24th, 25th, maybe, and then it dropped. Blech. So that's probably pretty much right when the war began, and everybody was like, ah, get your money out of the ruble. And you know what's funny, though, is that not a lot of people are talking about that.
No.
Interesting. Stronger ruble.
The stronger ruble.
And what's the dollar doing right now? What's the DXY? Have you looked at the DXY?
I haven't looked at that.
Come on, baby. Load up. So it's
starting to go down.
Starting to go down, which
but it's been going on the rise, though.
Yeah, but you want it to. You want it to weaken.
If you're an exporter,
well, if you buy import goods, right? You want it to be cheaper.
What, the dollar to be cheaper?
You want that to fall. Like for us, and that was always the thing with Trump, right? He wanted the dollar. They all want their dollars weaker. China wants their dollar or the yuan weaker to the dollar.
That way they can sell more.
Mm-hmm. We want our dollar weaker than the yuan. But so they're always at that game to try and push it down. So right now it's at 101.63. So it's starting to drop, and that had hit a high. What is the 5-year on this? So yeah, we peaked, and we're coming back down to the baseline, it looks like. Because it looks like this was a big old point of resistance. And we're coming back down to it. So that's where that inflation was starting to go crazy, right? Bleep. I mean, it's still going crazy, but this is what they're saying their interest rate raising is doing, is they're dropping that down. I don't know. We shall see. We'll see how it plays. Gold's up 0.14%.
So what's it at now, then?
1,852.
See, it was at 1,900 just a month or two ago, right?
Yeah, I want to say, like, we had even seen it at 2,000.
Yeah, it touched 2,000.
2,075 almost is what it looks like it almost got up to. $2,050.17.
Wow.
Back in March. Again, when the war was going on and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of tweeted back out.
See, and that's the thing. You know, a lot of the assets like gold, you'd expect it, you know, in times of turmoil to go up. It's not really done that. Like, the markets have been...
You would have figured, I mean, because when you go back to basically... And it did, I guess, when you look at March 2020, because that was kind of like a big red day, right? But even March 2020, so it dropped quite a bit on that day. So right before, on March 2nd, it was 1673. It went down to 1498. And then it climbed up to 2034 on August 3rd, 2020. But if you think about that, I mean, that's when the peak of all the markets were just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Around that, you know, that summertime of 2020.
But that's also around the time that Bitcoin started doing its move, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bitcoin, I want to say, was a little bit earlier in the year. I want to say Bitcoin had already hit 63,000 by March of 2020. No, or 2021.
2021.
That's when that hit that.
Yeah, so 2020, like this, March
this
2020.
This was our K recovery that took place after that fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because this is the K recovery, because this was like that black event when the black swan happened and everything was going into lockdown in March, and then we started to see everything started to do its ridiculous recovery.
Well, that's from the money printing, but mm-hmm. now we're seeing all the effects of that, so...
We still, like, I mean, even to temper that, and if we're going to go back down to the levels that should have been right around 2019, before all this kind of went into chaos... I mean, you're still looking at a gold price that was about 13.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Interesting times indeed. And I don't know what's going to play out. We'll have to see. Month end is coming up for Bitcoin. I don't know if we'll see. We've seen 8 weekly red candles in a row. I'm holding up 7 fingers. 8 weekly red candles in a row. We had never seen, like, this is historic. We've never seen this many red candles in a row for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
6 was the max, I think. And now we've tagged on 2 extra weeks, and more than likely we're going to tag on a 9th week and a monthly close that's going to be pretty disastrous. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. But if I had to guess, I would agree with you. It will hit 9.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I think that's it for now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens over this weekend. We'll hear... Hopefully we'll meet up again before, if not before the Fed meeting, right after. We'll see what happens with the prices once the Fed announces their next interest rate.
Sounds good.
Hike. Thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all soon. And keep stacking them sats.
Bye.